definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Day, good morning and welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Alongside the one and only Jeff Haxton. He has made his return. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White across the way. We have made our return after a bit of a funky week last week with Thanksgiving, and it'll be back to normal this week. Full shows all week, 9 to noon every day. Plenty to dive into, lots to recap, lots to look forward to. The prophecy foretold has come true. So it's a pretty good weekend.
Thank goodness.
It was not an easy one, but oh man, what an awful start. Couldn't have started any worse for the Red Raiders. I think there was a point where OU had 250 yards to Tech's 30.
So similar
at one point
to
the
week before, but Texas Tech has some offense still. And it turned out to be a lot of offense. And so it's fun to watch them take those early hits and then dig in and really by halftime change the whole scope of the game. You know, they'd done some of that as far as digging in and showing that they were going to compete, because for a while you're wondering if they were going to compete. And then they kind of get, and then they hit Mims wide open, nobody within 30 yards of him.
Oh boy.
And you're like, oh man, if that's going to continue to happen, if you're going to have defensive breakdowns like that, then you don't have a chance. But then, so what I'm getting at is by the time halftime buzzer went off, they had said, okay, boys, buckle your chin straps. It's going to be a game.
Yep.
So that was comforting.
I mean, you scored.
Was it 24-23 going to the break?
Yeah, you scored 17 points in the final 309.
Yeah, you really changed
of the second quarter.
Well, and then, you know, that could have, with the Mims breakdown, that could have easily been a, man, it's just not our night. Your shoulders kind of fall. Your body language gets bad. Because you'd already done some work just to get back into the game at that point, and then you just kept going.
And I know it's somewhat cliche to say this, but then again, it's not, because it's true. I mean, how many times in the past decade do we see teams lose that game by 30-plus points? It's numerous.
Or the other option is, when it comes to OU, ultimately lose in a big-time shootout.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, you found a way to do it. You this team continually this year, that's the fourth win in one-score games this year. Again, there's another stat where you've gotten crushed, where Cliff Kingsbury, love the guy, but notorious for losing tight ball games over and over and over in the past. You've lost those games. There just seems to be a change. And Hex, we'll get into the game itself a lot, but you sit here at 7-5, fourth place overall in the Big 12. Fourth
Massive
place overall.
Success.
Yeah, ninth. You picked ninth. Remember that in the league. Finished in fourth place overall.
Over-under was
5.5.
5.5.
So you've finished a game and a half above that at 7. But this 7-5, it feels different. It does. Because, one, you fifth strength of schedule in the country. Fifth toughest schedule in the entire country, Texas Tech had this year.
Played North Carolina State when they were at their best. Yep. Played Oklahoma State when they were at their best.
I mean, you just look at overall record of opponents.
Kansas State was very consistent all year long.
Yeah.
One of the few teams that was that way.
Very few.
Then toss in the OU and Texas that you take down. Yeah, you're going to look back in 10 years at this schedule and go, dang.
Yeah.
Great year.
This 7-5.
One at Iowa State.
One at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
cold, blah, 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 blah.
And you finish on a three-game winning streak for the first time since 1995.
Yeah. Wow.
First time since 1995 that you finished the season on a three-game winning streak. So you erase some of those November woes that have been well, very woeful for Texas Tech in the past. And we went through, you and I did on Saturday on Optimum Game Day Live, all of the different walls you're trying to knock down. Finally, winning record in Big 12 play. First one of those since 2009. First time to win six games at home since 2009. First time you've ever beat Texas Tech and or Texas and OU in a season. It just, this one just feels better. Remember, Cliff Kingsbury went 7-5 in his first year in the regular season, which finished on a five-game losing streak, and you played all of your tough competition up front. Felt like it was a very as empty of a 7-5 as you could have had. This feels opposite. This feels like you're just completely pushing everything in the right direction right now. There's not a hotter team in the Big 12 Conference, obviously, besides TCU, who's on a different platform. But, man, it just feels different. And finally, for the first time in I can't remember how long, Hacks, you feel really good about your football team closing out a season. Really good about the direction of your program closing out the season. Regular season.
Yeah, I give them a lot of credit because there was a lot of talk. They did a lot of talking, a lot of hype videos, a lot of, you know, we'll see in the Big 12 championship and that kind of thing. And you know, to be honest, they weren't that far away.
One win, technically, in Manhattan.
And so, you know, through the highs and lows of a season, they really did just kind of keep in the middle. Didn't get too high, didn't get too low, just kept playing. You know, and it needs to be said, too, that you did Iowa State and Oklahoma without maybe the best defensive player in the conference.
True.
I think the kingpin, linchpin, whatever what kind of term you want to throw on Tyree Wilson. You need to put that respect on his name. And he, you know, you did it without him. And when you got a guy that leads the country in hurries and is going crazy as far as getting pressure on the quarterback, that kind of absence is felt. And I think everybody really stepped up. Hutchings gets an offensive touchdown and not kind of in some kind of slop, you know, game's over. Yep. Sometimes you see that when the game's in hand, you hand it off to the big fella and
let him
have a little fun. It's the first half, you know, when they throw one to him and then hand it off to him. And then Bradford and Hutchings, I thought, did a great job in the interior. And, yeah.
What's so amazing, too, Hacks, is you just won a game in Ames that was scored in the teens. You just won a game in the teens in Ames, and then you just won a shootout 51-48 this week. Again, it just goes back to the finding a way to win, however it is. You can Texas Tech and Joey McGuire's team has been a chameleon this year. They've adapted well to the type of game, and they show they can win in different ways. Now, we're not talking about a national title contender or anything like that, but, man, it feels like this team, this program, is heading very much in the right direction. 7-5 season, lots to break down from the OU game. We'll get to it. Lots of your thoughts already rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I'm glad Hax's prophecy came true. You called it.
I got one thing right.
In June. And it did come true. We got plenty more to get to. A wide world of coaching carousels. It's pretty crazy right now in college football. Headlines are next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Time for a few headlines. What you need to know, part of the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Alongside Jeff Haxton, I'm Choice Woodman. These are your headlines for this Monday, November the 28th, year of our Lord, 2022. We'll start off with, some bad news. Texas Tech Volleyball, as kind of expected, did not get into the NCAA tournament. Five Big 12 teams in, but Texas Tech, not one of them, because just a really rough stretch there in the middle of conference play, included a seven-game losing streak.
My girl Audrey Tuttle, I'll give her this. She was trying to keep the possibility of Texas Tech making the NCAA tournament alive during our broadcast
so
on Friday.
Conference tournament?
No. Mm-mm.
Is that normal?
No.
Okay. Like, yeah. What's going
I don't
on
know.
There?
I have no idea.
I didn't realize there was no conference tournament till today.
I don't know who has it and who doesn't, but I know there are several leagues that do have tournaments.
Is this a post-COVID thing for the Big 12?
No. Nope. It's been this way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because I thought, well, they could try to make the make it through the conference
and they would
tournament.
Have no chance, even in a conference
not
tournament.
Not with
say.
Texas playing.
And then Baylor.
Well,
and,
I mean, the sweep over Kansas was nice. Like, that wasn't expected, right?
That coach from KU had beaten Texas Tech 29 of the last 31 times.
Ouch. 29 out of 31. Yikes.
So it was cool to put the smack down on them.
Take it.
And they did. Our girls just, they played great. It shows, again, the mental aspect of this game and really just sports, period, that if you've got nothing to lose, just go out there and cut it loose.
That's crazy, isn't it?
You take a few risks, and it turns out they might pay off, and then you just blast somebody. And that was fun to watch.
We got on our airwaves tonight. Right here on 100.7 The Score, High School Fan Zone, as coaches from Coronado, Estacado, and Monterey will join Clint Scott in the First United Bank studio as we shift to basketball season. That will be at 6 o'clock tonight here on 100.7 The Score. Following that up, Steelers at Colts. You can find that one here on 100.7 The Score as well. Cowboys Hour will be over on Double T 97.3 as they've got plenty of happy stuff to talk about. Cowboys winning on Thanksgiving Day over Los Gigantes.
Boy, I had a huge hole in my viewing there, and we were, you know, flying back. And
yeah, I was about to say, you would have been on a plane.
You know, a lot of these MTEs, you stay Thanksgiving Day and then you come back on Friday. I'm glad we came back on Thursday. Very happy. But man, that's the thing I missed the most, because I was able to come home and get plenty of the Thanksgiving grub, which was very nice too. But that just wiped out any kind of hope for football viewing.
Yeah, I actually, Hex, went to the Cowboys game impromptu. I was not planning on doing this.
Awesome.
I've never been to a Cowboys game before. And
that's crazy.
It is crazy. I've just never have. And
I've never been to an NFL game.
Yeah. It's weird. Well, prices for tickets are unbelievable for NFL games. People will sit here and be like, complain about ticket prices at Tech or something like that. And then you look at NFL ticket prices and it's like, holy cow. I mean, there's 100,000 seats in that stadium. Not 100,000 seats, but they let 100,000 people into the stadium. So, anyway, we were already in the DFW area visiting Megan's brother family over there. And I'm like, hey, you know, we could go, you know, what's today? We could go see the Cowboys. I'm like, let's hop on. Checked out the ticket prices. I'm like, I'm not paying for anything but standing room only tickets. And those I got for $21 a piece. This was just me, Megan, her brother, and his wife. And I'm like, all right, we can do that. We'll go in there and do the standing room only tickets. Get to the stadium, because this was late decision. And it was right at a little after the start of the game. Couldn't see a thing from the standing room only areas. They are packed full and you're not allowed to stand in certain areas, all that. So it was, I'm like, this isn't going to work. We can't watch the game. We can't even see the big giant screen from here. So I hop back on the ticket website. I'm like, let's look at places that have not, seats that have not been sold for this game on the secondary market. Looked at some, didn't want to go to the lower areas, went, looked at some in the higher up area. I'm like, all right, these four together haven't been sold. Went and sat there.
Never got bothered.
Never got bothered the whole game. It was perfect. And they were high up, but they were 50-yard line seats too, so got to see the whole field. It was great. I was like, this is awesome.
All right, Yates Flooring Center chat line is, what choice did fair or foul?
Yeah, tell us, fair NFL to do such things. So we got out of the Cowboys game.
Don't forget to tell them about the parking.
Oh, yeah. So we get there.
Add this to the fair foul.
We get there at kickoff, and we're like, oh, man, parking is expensive everywhere. I mean, it's Cowboys game. I see this one lot that's more of a private lot for $40 parking. And then to the left over here, there's $55 parking. It's one of the Cowboys lots. It's $55, which is stupid. But there was no attendant sitting there. It was still a little rainy. No attendant at the... So we zip right in. Nobody's there to take our money. Go find a parking spot. Didn't pay for parking either. I promise you. And we didn't... We ate right before, too. We had our Thanksgiving meal.
We stole our food.
We stole food. No, we ate right before.
We found a homeless camp and took their food, and then we went in and we parked for free, and then we got in the standing room only and we took someone's seats.
So anyway.
And then we stole some beers and we had a good time.
I promise you, no one has ever gotten out of a NFL game, well, at least the Dallas Cowboys game, cheaper than I got out of that Cowboys game. We paid for our tickets, the standing room only ones, and that was it. Didn't buy any... Well, part of the problem is we didn't want to go, like, explore or anything, just in case we didn't want to lose our seats, in case someone was doing the same thing I was. So
that is funny.
It worked out well. Got to see the Cowboys on Thanksgiving
Day. Fair or foul, Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you by Happy State Bank.
Let us know on those fair or foul. Okay, so Tech Hoops. We'll find out whether they make the top 25 or not in a few hours.
Will not be in it.
I would guess that's the case. Just on the outside, probably?
Yeah, I mean...
Like 27, 28,
like down to 40 or something.
Right, but this is... your trip to Maui. You mentioned you were on a plane. How was the flight? Everything go smoothly?
Yeah, it's fine.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. The games themselves, not as smoothly as you'd like, but... Well, how disappointing was the Ohio State loss to you?
It wasn't terribly disappointing for me because I could look out there right now and see that Ohio State's better than us.
Yeah. Is that a team that's going to be ranked soon?
I think so.
Yeah, I watched that game and I didn't want to let the bias seep in and be like, oh, they're just that good of a team. But they did look like a good basketball team.
They're a good basketball team. I mean, better than us, I mean, what was the final spread? Was Tech favored by one or something like that? I can't remember. But so they just have better pieces than we do currently, I think, as far as a team goes.
Yep.
And it ended up panning out that way. So I wasn't, like, terribly disappointed. It sure would have been nice to win, but I think it's just kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, I think when I look at what we saw in Maui, and you were up close to it, but...
Well, we had great seats. Oh, jeez.
it's hard to not have great seats at a 2,000-seat gym,
well,
right?
Well, I know, but they...
They set put you us, up pretty good?
Well, they just put us right across, so then you don't have the coaches in your way.
Oh,
so
okay.
We were right across from Mark Adams. I mean, it's just...
You like that?
Oh yeah, it's the way to go.
So where are the TV guys?
Just to our right, and then
so they're across too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Which I never really looked at as far as like where people sit, but yeah. So we're right across from the bench, maybe even, but still pretty close to midcourt.
Yeah,
and then Shulman and Billis just to our right, and then the next crew would be just to the right of them.
Yeah, I'm not in any sort of panic mode about this basketball team. I guess where it just depends where your expectations are for Tech basketball right now. This is still a team that can do some good
things. I
think
this team's going to play wonderful at home, and then once they get out on the road and they don't have that home court advantage, it's going to be tougher, and it's going to take a little while longer for this thing to come all together. Your expectations need to be patience.
Mm-hmm. I agree, yeah.
And we still don't know about Fardos at all. So, I mean, he's a huge piece of this.
All right, lots of your reaction on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Fair or foul?
We'll get some of those coming up next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
On to hour number two, you're hanging with the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score. 107thescore.com and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. A victory Monday, if you're a Texas Tech fan, here on 100.7 The Score. Got plenty to dive into over the next couple of hours. Lots on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Appreciate all the thoughts, comments, participation. Want to look back towards the Tech OU game and the fun one that we had on Saturday night. Get to that coming up. But diving into a few more of your thoughts. Clay says, Choice, your lucky Hax's parking buddy from the USA was not at that lot.
What's really odd is when I see him now again. And then where
this
we
cool.
Where it's just weird. It's like, do we know that we hated each other for a moment? Do you remember that it was me? Because I sure remember that it was you. But now you're being cool. What's going on?
Yeah. Viva 73 says, Jonas Brothers are from Dallas, according to the Dallas Observer. Okay. Felt like Tyler's comments were very inappropriate. Then he tweeted a scripture a few hours later. Doesn't add up to me. Clay says, adios muchacho Tyler. I'm not ready to get rid of Tyler Shuck. If he's wanting to stay around, irons things out with his teammates, I'm fine with it. He's 6-0 in games he started and finished at Texas Tech. He's 7-1 overall as a starter at Texas Tech. Now, he has not gone through the gauntlet of schedules that some of his teammates have at quarterback, so not fair to compare apples to apples there. It's not apples to apples, but he's also found a way to help you win football games. And he, I would say, had his best performance as a Tech quarterback on Saturday night against OU, I would think. I mean, helped put 51 points on the board. Dropped a dime to Bradley late. That was a nice pass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't want him to be the quarterback going forward. I'm just saying
what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm just saying what it sounds like to me is I thought this was going to be one thing. It was another thing, and a lot of those things are because I get injured right at the start of the year and have to sit there and listen to it from all kinds of angles, and including inside. And again, just things you just don't say, no matter how kind of vindicated you feel.
Someone said Shuck also told Level on the post game he was here to stay. Do you have that audio? It's somewhere. It'd take some digging to find that. But I think it was, I was listening too, obviously. I think it was a more of a, I'm here to stay, just like planting my feet type of thing. Not necessarily I'm here for the next year or so. He's got another year of eligibility if he wants it. But at some point two, he is a senior, and some point age factors in with these guys and saying, hey, I have no idea what he's going to grade in the NFL draft. He could have a fifth round grade, and maybe that's good enough for him to say, hey, I'm ready to go ahead and move to the next part of my next chapter of my book. Ding.
cliche bell.
So someone posts, we will win fourth place. Jackie Moon said it. The meme. That's pretty
good. Fourth place.
We won fourth place, guys. Someone else wrapping up the Tyler Shuck comments, because I don't want to spend forever on that. It was a great football game. Good on you, Tyler. I have zero problem with the comments. His play has shown he's the best guy right now. Glad he's gotten to show what he can do. I know all three will not be back next year, so I think he or Donovan are the most likely to leave. Have Strong coming in with the new class as well. Yeah, Jake Strong, the four-star kid in next year's class, is going to be pretty good too. So I don't think you're going to have all three guys stay. Could Donovan be a Taysom Hill for you? You think he would?
I heard Garrett Luff make that comparison on the Coors Light postgame show, and I thought it was perfect. I mean,
I didn't hear him, but
what a Swiss Army knife that guy is. And I felt like the more that you could get the ball in his hands, and I'm not even talking about like from snaps or just the more you could get it in his hands, the more success that you were going to have. And a lot can be said about him, but number one should be football player. He is a football player. Don't forget how he grinded and got all those fourth downs for you against Texas. You know, I remember people killing him as far as with their words in the stands. Donovan, you stink, you suck, all these things in the stands. He goes and leads you to a win over Texas.
Sure, sure.
And let's throw the Quinn Ewers. If Quinn Ewers was in, it would have been a different story that day. That's all garbage.
It's gone now for sure.
That's garbage. You have one good game against Oklahoma and killed the Sooners 49-0. You didn't have a quarterback.
Right. You scored more points than Quinn Ewers did. I'm going to get technical. 51. They scored 49 that day.
That's true.
Just
that's
saying.
True. Gave up a few more.
Gave up a few more, but again, if we were facing their Wildcat, oh, yeah, which is basically, if Dalen Gabriel wasn't in the game Saturday, I think you would have given up a lot less.
Yeah, you just found out how big a part OU is with Dalen Gabriel, man, because he's pretty good.
Does he have a year left?
I think so.
I think he does too. Darn it.
Yeah. The guy's a baller, and I loved it, you know. Whether it was decoy, handoff, pass, he can do a little bit of it all. He's just a really good player.
Man, I really...
He might not be your A quarterback, okay? Might not be that guy, but he's certainly useful.
I will tell you, there's not a better teammate on that team, too, than Donovan Smith. He will do what's asked of him. He's going to wear a smile on his face. And while he may not like not being the starter, no one would like that, he takes it as good as possible, and he is the biggest encourager on that team. I love Donovan Smith, and if at all possible he could stay around at Texas Tech, it would be fantastic for your team because of all that he can do. Now, if he chooses that he wants to go play quarterback, because someone's going to pick him up as quarterback, someone will take him.
It reminds me of that level of Jerry Bohannon going from Baylor to South Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be, I think, that kind of
something
trajectory.
Like that.
He's not going to end up at Ohio State, places like that. But if he wanted to go that little step down.
Someone will take him.
Southern Miss or something like that. He could go be the quarterback at those places.
So, yeah, if he chooses that, I totally understand. Would totally understand. I don't want that to happen. I want him to be a Red Raider next year, but we'll see. We'll see with all of that. A few more from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Why can't Donovan Smith be a Ryan Tannehill? Worked out pretty well. Tannehill played...
tight end?
I think he played receiver early on at A&M. I think that's the difference, though. Tannehill kind of started at receiver. I think Smith could be a receiver. I think he could be a tight end. I think if you're talking truly what he would translate to the NFL level at, it's going to be there. But, again, maybe he believes that he can still be a quarterback. And he can throw the ball. Again, I just don't think he reads the field and makes decisions quite as quickly as his other two teammates.
That's the big one.
Yep, which matters at quarterback. But, man, what a phenomenal athlete he is. And he's shown it time and time again. Two touchdowns against OU. Plenty still to get into. We'll talk some more basketball. Hacks has the highs and lows coming your way next on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday. It's been a good one so far. Appreciate all the thoughts, comments, participation on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Keep them coming. Do that 100.7 The Score mobile app. We will get to your questions. Several of those in already. Ask the Benchwarmers headed your way 15 minutes away from right now. Clean up a few from the chat line. Bullfighter says, way to go, Denise.
Yeah.
Shelley says, Hacks, you would have won the tiebreaker this week if that makes you feel any better.
No, it doesn't.
Your penalty revenge. That's true.
I would have won it.
Yeah, you would have had the best on the tiebreaker. So.
Still didn't make me feel better.
It's true.
Oh, wheel. That's me.
Yeah, because remember, this went back a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The penalty total in the Iowa State game is what it was. Iowa State. And you went 9 again. You went the exact same. I think we had 6 penalties in the game. 6? No one wanted to throw a flag because it was a little too chilly. Or they were frozen to their hip. So, Chris says favorite call was the offensive PI on 10 and watching vulnerables. I don't know if he meant to do that or not.
He did.
Vulnerables complained for 20 minutes solid even into the next time they got the ball. Yeah. It was the Hacks, I don't think I've ever seen a more obvious pick play. I mean, that's what it was. It was a pick play where he runs straight in. You got to fake it a little.
Yeah.
You got to sell fake it, like you're running a route. The pick play is legal if you fake it enough, essentially, is what an official will tell you. You've got to make it look like you're running a route, and he doesn't make it look like he runs a route. Runs straight into him and then throws his hands up after he does. It was the most obvious ever. And you got two different penalty flags thrown in on it. So when two different refs see the same thing.
That's what makes it so interesting for me about the OU state of mind on, again, I go by, I was doing sports talk when Brent Venables was the defensive coordinator there, and they couldn't stand him. That's what they called him, vulnerables, all the time.
Vulnerables.
And they wanted him gone. They wanted him gone, and finally he left, and now he's the head coach, and everybody just kind of forgets about that. So
it's crazy.
Be interesting to see if they again, they're going to be going to the SEC soon. They're in an interesting spot.
Raiders Dad says, man, looking at last year's class and the class we will sign this year, I'm pretty pumped going forward with a lot of these new young pups coming in. You should be. I mean, it's a different brand of recruiting. It really is. The whole brand thing has carried over to recruiting. Shoot, you could say it started with it because it was he had three commitments before Joey McGuire was introduced as the head coach a year ago. I mean, it's already been good on that trail. Winning excitement around the program will only help it. Let's see, a few others. Well, real quick, did you see what happened in the Las Vegas Invitational for the women?
Oh, yeah. This is terrible, yeah.
Well, okay, so this is the one that Tech played in, right? Am I wrong?
I think so.
It was called the Las Vegas Invitational.
Yeah.
So Indiana women's basketball coach Terry Morin expressed her disappointment after her number 6 ranked squad and other teams played in a hotel ballroom that had no stands for spectators. Pardon me.
She confirmed that. Yeah.
Terry Morin said, as women's basketball coaches, we have an obligation to grow our game. And we completely missed this opportunity.
The biggest issue is they had to let the poor girl from Arizona lay on the floor for 50 minutes before they could move her because of a head injury.
Yeah.
That's the biggest issue. It took 55 minutes to get there from the emergency personnel. Now, I know you have trainers. Athletic trainers are awesome people. But when you get serious stuff like that, you need...
That's a big deal. Yeah.
You need the medical staff.
That's a problem. I mean... Women's basketball, it's not equal. I mean, be real, it's not equal in terms of revenue. But to throw them in a hotel ballroom?
Well, dude, I mean, hundreds of these tournaments are ballroom tournaments.
Well, I finished. Like with no stands?
Right.
You can't even go watch the game.
The Cancun Challenge is in a ballroom.
Yes, I get it. I understand. And you've been to plenty of these places and experienced this a lot. But to be in a ballroom with no spectator opportunity, and there was no scoreboard, right?
Had to use a big screen television. They had to bring in a big screen TV and plug it in to be the scoreboard.
How do you not have better infrastructure for these tournaments or that tournament in particular? Like that's terrible, terrible. I get that some of them are just thrown together as destination tournaments, and
make a buck.
I get it. But you can't be that poorly put together. It's just not. It's terrible. So whoever was in charge of that tournament, whatever sponsor is, they should not be allowed to be in charge of a tournament again. Our coaches definitely shouldn't go to that. Sign up for it again after that. I guess I need to ask Fink. I want to ask Fink if this was the same situation, like because I'm pretty sure this is the same tournament, same name, Las Vegas Invitational. So I want to know, like, are they all in one ballroom? Are all the games going on in the same place? And, I'll ask Finkner about it, but I saw some of that, and it's pretty wild. All right, more turmoil. How about this? Did you see the latest comments from, or the latest in the saga between Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray?
Bring it on.
So the Cardinals lose last second last night.
Kyler's watching Jalen Hurts just dominate, going, am I not supposed to be better than this guy?
He's supposed to be. But are you actually better than that guy? Now that people have kind of figured out Kyler Murray? I don't know. Maybe I'm just siding with Cliff too much. But latest, he was asked about the game, the loss last night to the Chargers. His comments, I can't say all the words. Schematically, we were pretty effed. That is 100% direct shot at your head coach. Like, holy cow.
Makes Tyler Shuck look like he was telling a fairy tale.
It does, doesn't it? Schematically, we're pretty effed.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Our coaches didn't do their jobs. Like, blame them, yeah?
At this point, if you're a front office, and you know 99% of the way this usually goes, you got to pick a side. You got to pick your head coach or you got to pick your quarterback.
And you're there.
And you're there. And if Cliff Kingsbury had some more success as head coach, I think maybe you'd see it lean that way. But the record hadn't shown. And a lot of it because of your quarterback or because of your play out of your offense, which, again, falls back to the head coach. So, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is a dead man walking. How long does he have?
Days.
Like, to,
I thought we would hear it maybe even by now.
Today, yeah. I mean, I kind of thought so. It's a game they probably should have won last night. Sheesh. Yesterday evening, whatever. I don't know. Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm sure he'll settle in just fine to an offensive coordinator role and be great at it in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not coming back to college.
He's experienced the fruits of not having to recruit, so he's not turning back around to that.
You know, I think of those two teams and Philadelphia, where do they excel? Where are they the example?
Yeah. So
offensive line.
Absolutely.
You watch them block. Whew. They bully and push people around.
Yep.
At some time though, at some place in time, Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the football. Am I wrong, Jackson, Flaxon, Waxon? Because to me, it looks like, I mean, obviously they rush for 300, whatever, 50 yards. But it just looks like to me he's more than content to pull it down. And no one can touch him, so he's not going to get hurt. I understand that he wants to run the ball. But what's your confidence level in a conference championship game, NFC championship game, him making the big throw?
The more the season has gone on, the more I actually think he can make that throw. I think yesterday it was just there for him all day.
Okay, yeah.
I think he just had open space all day. He actually really hasn't been running that much the last few games before this one in comparison to how much he usually runs. But, yeah, yesterday he just had space all day.
It was fun for me to watch Love come out there and deal a little bit.
Was that in the game plan before? I didn't watch the whole game.
Oh, Rodgers.
I just saw a highlight.
Rodgers got hurt.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't watch the whole game.
He was out there. He could barely extend the ball to hand it off. Rib cage. They said oblique for Rodgers, but another goal for Brazil.
No.
Oh, they took away that other one. So that's just their first.
They did you see why?
Oh,
it was the offsides. Have you seen the technology on
VAR?
The offsides?
Yeah.
It's like a wall of. Yet we're still in football.
That
American
one counts.
Football, American football, we still, it looks like this is the right spot to put the football. We're just eyeballing it from the sideline. We're
pulling out the paper.
I know. Pulling out the index card.
Index card.
Index card.
Gene Steratour. Never forget.
That's American football, but in football, they literally use this invisible wall to tell you if you're offsides or not. In tennis, I mean, you can get exact spot. How have we not come to some sort of this? At least, like, has the ball crossed the goal line or not? What, a microchip in the ball? I don't know.
That's got to be coming. Has to be.
It has to someday, but I'm just surprised how far behind
especially
we are.
Especially with, how much goes on in a pile.
Yep.
No doubt. Video can't see.
Ask the Benchwarmers coming up next. Get your questions in now on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's time for Ask the Benchwarmers. Part of the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Sometimes you think you have the timing down and then it jumps up on you. If it's my bite of jerky. He's Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman. Jackson Frazier across the way. Questions for any and all of us. And we got a lot of questions. So
it allowed me to quote Coming to America, so it was worth it to me.
Yeah. All right, lots to get to, so dive straight in. The one at the top of the list. Did y'all agree with and were you surprised by the decision to kick the field goal late? This would have been the fourth and inches-ish, fourth and a foot, whatever. Coach, I was surprised that he didn't go for it because that's been the MO all season.
Set this up for me again.
So, the field goal late. It says, do y'all agree... Did y'all agree with in the moment? Were y'all surprised by the decision?
What? Which one?
I think this is the one to go to overtime.
Oh no!
You had fourth. Short. With about a minute ish left.
I was not surprised
that he didn't.
No, I wasn't. I just thought it was the decision and the right one to make. And listen, they obviously have confidence in Trey Wolf.
Yeah.
It's not like the elements were bad.
No, and he's been nails this year for you. So, I guess I was a little surprised just because of what you've done all year. I would have been fine with either decision. Would have been fine with either decision. If you go for it on fourth down, because I think you're probably getting it, be a little aggressive, try to go get a touchdown in regulation, because you had about a minute left, and your offense was rolling at that point for the most part. But... I was okay with being safe.
Yeah.
That was a safe decision with Trey Wolf. Bench sitters, which is more likely? Tech keeps all the quarterbacks next season or Tech keeps all of the defensive staff? Almost every year you have turnover on coaching staffs. I'm trying to think of who... Would.
Does Tim DeRuiter get involved in any head coaching situations?
Let's see. So his last stops, he was at Oregon before and...
Aggies.
Arizona? He was the head coach at Fresno for a little bit. I think that was his last head coaching stop. I don't know. Some guys are okay with not being a head coach. I have no idea what the
I'd say both. Is. Both see movement.
So which is more likely, though, to answer your question? I think you're more likely...
You're probably more than likely with your coaches. Somebody's going to leave.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get it spelled out to them.
Yeah.
This is how we feel. This is how we're going to approach.
We're going to pay you more money.
And I don't think it... You can probably say that to the player, too.
no doubt. You can say that to the player, too.
Golly.
Legally. Legally.
Drives me crazy. Bidding wars. Who wants to stay? All right, we got this for you. We're already paying you 25 G's. What can we give? Anyway, I don't think the explanation of, hey, we're just going to open it up and have a battle again works. I mean, by now we know how Tyler Shuck feels about some of the coaches in the building because he told us. Okay.
Yeah.
We know that he's got certain ways to feel about this. They've already battled it out for an entire summer and spring before. That doesn't fly this time. So somebody's going to have direction. This is the direction we're going. Here's what we have for you. You can stay. You can go. And somebody's going to go.
Yeah. He wasn't nails. Missed an extra point, right? Yeah, first one of the year. Bad time to miss it, but
you did he hit the big kicks against it. Texas and OU that got you the win? That's nails for me.
Hit kicks to send to overtime in both of those games and to win the game.
Thank you.
And Houston.
Hit one in, to send overtime in Houston. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Fresno State from nailed. 12 to 16. Cal,
that's the one. No, I think the one I was thinking of is...
You had Cal another. DC from 17 to 20. Oregon 21. Texas Tech present. Before that, Fresno State, he was the interim head coach in 2011. And was with the Aggies. Only with the Aggies for 2 years.
I did know that. Yep.
Air Force Nevada.
He's an Air Force alum.
Goes back to Air Force all the way to 1989 as a assistant.
Okay, so let's see. Other questions. Hacks, do you think Kerwin Walton transfers midseason?
So, listen, there's something going on here, and I don't know what it is.
Body language is off, right? Like, big time. I mean, I think you can observe that on TV. It just, something's not right there.
I just don't think I've seen a kid so... sullen? Just kind of...
Okay.
He just doesn't look happy. He, as a matter of fact, he looks miserable.
Well, like, Kevin O'Banner never looks happy, right? Or
no.
Rarely. He's kind of just one of those guys, but it's different from that. Right? I mean, O'Banner doesn't smile much, but it just feels like he's sulking a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, for whatever reason. And again, you can see that. You're just watching. They come out of the game pretty quick, and then...
Man, it just looks bad.
Hacks.
As far as transfer, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what the future is.
You never know in today's world.
Because he hit 55 three-pointers as a freshman at North Carolina.
Yep.
What, does he have one here?
I think he's only got the one, right? Or did he have a second?
I think he's got one.
Just one.
He looks miserable.
T-Money 806 asks, Hacks, is this what Adams was trying to build with this year's team? AMAC for rebounds and paint work, Bacho high screens and putbacks, Isaac's paint or points and three-pointers, O'Banner brawler driver, and Tyson slasher threes with Harmon as the sixth man. It's a pretty salty team if they can get AMAC back.
Harmon's not a sixth man. Harmon's definitely a starter in every scenario. He's like, you're looking around for dogs, all right? Where are our dogs? You list them. List them right now, Choice.
Well, Harmon's one of your dogs. Bacho's one of your dogs. I would say Tyson is one of your dogs.
Not close.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, I like the energy he brings.
Yeah, I'm telling you this.
Okay, you're people closer to it than I am.
All over the place were just, you know, fascinated and saying this guy was there's always been something that's held me back. And then I went to a practice, and he made every shot, and I was like, okay, I'll come along everybody else with JT. I love being around him. He's very positive. He's a good kid. But there's just something that's not there. And I don't – it's not what we're talking about with that dog mentality.
Okay.
So right now you have two. I'm sorry. I don't think O'Banner – O'Banner is
– I think O'Banner's in a funk. I think he's absolutely a dog on this team. You can't be the muscle mentality that he is down low.
But you think that's still there?
I think he's in a funk right now.
Okay.
I hope. I mean, you saw it at the end of the season last year. You saw it at Oral Roberts. You saw it. Like, it's there.
Yeah.
He's got it. I just think he's got to figure some things out right now. And part of it is the shooting. Part of it's...
To me, who texted that?
That was T-Money 806.
To me, T-Money 806, you tried to solve your perimeter problem that you had last year.
Yeah.
Where you just couldn't hit enough threes. By doing that, you've shrunk.
Yep.
And you have Davion Harmon, who I thought was going to do a huge part of that, not taking many threes because he's got the ball in his hands so much.
Yep.
So it seemed like to me you tried to fix that issue of not enough three-pointers, and you're not nearly as long now. And you're hitting about exactly what you were hitting a year ago.
Unfortunately. Several bowl-ish questions. One was, who do you think will play in the bowl game? Another one.
I just saw UCLA and the Alamo on one of these.
I don't think Alamo is technically a possibility. You would move up a spot, but I don't think the Alamo is going to give up a chance to have Texas there. I mean, just too many fans, too big of an opportunity. I would absolutely. I think I love the idea of going to Orlando in December, but I would love Alamo Bowl because it's a big bowl game. It's a
Tech
huge
fans
opportunity.
Would have.
Tech fans would show up big time.
35.
Yeah. So I think you're most likely, the who is going to be an ACC team in the Cheez-It Bowl if I were projecting and predicting. So North Carolina is who I'd guess. Someone said, do you really want to get embarrassed by going to a good bowl game and play a team from a better conference?
You're not going to. This team won't get embarrassed.
No. And think about last year. People thought you were 10.5-point underdog to Mississippi State. You were supposed to get your lips kicked in that game.
And
you did the opposite.
I don't see it. I mean, you
and bowl games matter so
the
much.
The way that this thing shook out, you are the fourth best team in the Big 12 right now.
I would agree. Yeah.
And you got some guys that'll get after it in the bowl game. I'm not worried about that.
I think you're right. That's it for us today. Appreciate all the thoughts, comments, questions. Be back at it tomorrow. It's the end of the bench for Hax and Jackson. I'm Choice. You know, 100.7 The Score. The bottom line is next.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.